These next three parshiyot are about Avraham Avinu. Now, Avraham Avinu was a very remarkable personality. He changed something in the world. Something changed because of Avraham Avinu. There was the pessimism of the parshiyot of Bereshit and Noach are supplanted by optimism. The pessimism of Bereshit and Noach was that we're never going to be worthy of the world that we are in. We're always going to be punished tremendously, terribly. Avraham Avinu changed that somehow. And we suddenly are living in a more optimistic world, a world in which we think we will continue to exist in spite of, you know, various other theories. But that's what Avraham Avinu did. And the parasha, the beginning of Lech Lecha, sort of tries to explain that to us with a lot of hidden messages. So we look first at the psukim on the sheet that come at the end of the parasha of Noach. Right, the end of the parasha of Noach introduces us to Avraham. Avraham, that time, is still called Avram. Right? His name has not been changed as yet. You know, if God changes your name, so you're probably a different person than you started out as. But here, Avram is still being referred to by his old name, his former name, which will become his former name. Vayikach Avram v'Nachor lahem nashim. Avraham and Nachor, they were brothers, Avram. Nachor, they got married. They got married to women. Shem Eshet Avram Sarai, v'shem Eshet Nachor Milkah. So they each had wives, and their wives had names. Now this is a remarkable departure from the Torah describing, for example, the 10 generations from Noah to Avraham, when there were only men, and the men had children, and the children had children, but there were no wives. There were no wives. Now, whether you can you look at this pasuk and say, oh, here's the beginning of something, here's something that changed, but you know that this is a theme that is going to be ongoing in the story of Avraham, who the mother of your children is. That becomes somehow a point of discussion, a remarkable new idea. And this Milkah was Bat Haran Avi Milkah Avi Yeskah. Avi Yeskah, Rashi says, who's Yeskah? Who's Yeskah? So Rashi says, so Sarah. That Sarah had another name. She had a given name, Sarah. It says Sarah, but it means Sarai. Right? That was her name before it was changed. Sarai is Yeskah. And it's the same person. It's like a nickname. Al Shem Shesocha Beruch HaKodesh. That somehow she is enveloped in the Holy Spirit. I mean, we know that the wife of Avraham, in prophecy, superseded her husband at certain times. And it was when she said, you have to remember the stories, so she said, drive her out, she and her son. Who is she talking about?
Hagar
and Yishmael. So the Chazal say that her prophetic capacity was greater than his. She understood something that he didn't understand. So that's what Socha Beruch HaKodesh probably means. In this pasuk, which you could say is absolutely descriptive, it's about names, about people, there are changes that are taking place in the conception of humankind. First, that there are wives who are the mothers of children. Right? Heretofore, not mentioned, not referred to, right, at all. Now they are being referred to. The second thing is that the prophecy that Sarai was endowed with was greater, we know, greater than the prophecy even of Avram. So there's another explanation that Rashi gives, which is that the name Yiska refers to majesty. She had a majestic quality about her. Just like Sarai, Sar means an officer, an official, somebody who has authority. Okay. Pasuk Lamed. Vatehi Sarai Akara Ein Lavalat. So this is an unnecessary pasuk. Vatehi Sarai Akara, she was barren. Ein Lavalat, she didn't have a baby. I mean it's unnecessary. I mean, why do you have to say that? Why does the Torah have to tell us? We don't list any children, so we could assume she didn't have any children. But when the Torah says Vayisara Akara, it means she can't have any children, which is different than she doesn't have children. She can't have any children. And that becomes part of the story of Abraham, of Avraham Avinu. The fact that she can't have children, and how to deal with that. How Avraham and Sarai deal with that. Thinking that if at first Sarai gave Hagar as a wife to Avraham, thinking that it was a technicality, she could overcome her limit, her physical limit, the fact that she can't have children, by having a technical child, right? Because I guess those were the rules, that if the mother of the child is the handmaiden of the regular wife, then the regular wife gets credit somehow for that child. But that turned out to be mistaken. That turned out to be mistaken because it produced a genetic aberration. Like Yishmael, he had certain qualities from Avraham, but he had other qualities from his birth mother, Hagar. And therefore, he could not have been the child that they were looking for, waiting for, trying. But they had to understand that. Sometimes, if things go well, you don't really know what's going on. You need something to break it, in order to understand that the child that Avram had, or was going to have, had to be the son of Avraham and Sarah. It couldn't be a surrogate child. It couldn't be a child that was technically Sarah's, but actually Hagar's. And this is another lesson that's about, after all, one of the things that's happening is turning Avraham Avinu into a nation. I mean, obviously, a nation, not everybody is going to be Avraham Avinu. Not everybody's going to have that capacity to do the great things that Avraham, and yet he is going to be the father of a nation, as the Torah promises, right? Then Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Look at Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vaikach Terach. Terach is Avraham's father. Et Avram Benov, Et Lot Ben Haran, Ben Benov, Et Sarai Kalato. He took all of these people, Eshet Avram Benov, Vayitzumi, Itab Meur Kastim, Lechad Arza Kanan, Vayavo Ad Haran, Vayeshu Shav. So you know, Ur Kastim, like Babylonia, right? Some maps, way off to the east. For some reason unknown to us, Terach decided to go to Canaan. I mean, looking at later history, it's hard to understand. Canaan was always something that you went through. The real riches were either in Babylonia or in Egypt, or in places connected to Babylonia and Egypt, right? You see it, here's Israel in the middle, Babylonia is up there, and Egypt's down there, or the opposite, depending how you're looking at it, right? So, for some reason, unknown to us, Terach, Avram's father, took his family and went from Ur Kasdim, Babylonia, to, he was on his way to Eretz Canaan, and he got to Haran. Haran is a Babylonian. Haranu is a camping place. It was on the route. They didn't just go. It wasn't like scouts, you know, going on the cross Israel hike. It wasn't like that. There was a route that you followed, and that route took you to Haran. And Haran is the place of the caravans, where all the caravans met. And the reason, of course, the people went on these routes was probably because they were protected. They were protected not by police, but by the fact that a lot of people were traveling. A lot of people were going back and forth. It made it more difficult for the robbers to rob and for the murderers to murder. And so here they are, and they go to Ad Haran. Ad Haran. The last pasuk, Vayeshu Sham. Vayu Yibay Terach, Hameshanim Matayim Shana, Vayamot Terach Becharan. And this becomes a difficult pasuk. A difficult pasuk, and an interesting way that Rashi deals with the difficulty. So look at the Rashi. Vayamot Terach Becharan. He died. Where did he die? He, Terach, died in Haran. That means that Terach did not get to Eretz Canaan. And they're all sitting there, right? They're sitting there and Terach dies. Rashi says, Lachar sheyetza Avram mihar Haran. No, this was after Avram left Haran. Ubala Eretz Canaan. Vayasham yotem mishishim shana. He was there more than 60 years. Sharei Katuv. After all, the pasuk says, Avram ben Chameshon, name is Shivim Shana, 75, Bitzeito Micharan, right? Vaterach ben Shivim Shana, Hayake Shenolad Avram, and so Terach was 70 when Avram was born. Hare Mea Arbaim Vichamesh, Leterach Shiatzo Avram Micharan, Adai Nisharu Mishnotav Harbe, he says, there's something wrong here, because we know that Terach lived after Abraham left Haran and went to Eretz Canaan. It's simply mistaken. If you take the evidence from the Chumash itself, you see that this idea is simply not tenable. So he says, Adai Nisharu, the last narrow line in the Rashi, Adai Nisharu Mishnotav Harbe. Terach lived for a long time after Haran. V'lama hekdima katuv mitato shel Terach liyitziyato shel Avram. So why is it that the Torah is telling us something which is patently false? How do I know that it's false? Because of what it says in the Torah. It's not that I figured it out through archaeology or through comparative linguistic study. This is what it says in the Chumash, that Terach lived long after Avram left Haran on his way to Eretz Canaan. First of the wide lines. V'lama hekdima katuv mitato shel Terach liyitziyato shel Avram. Shelo yehi hadavar mefursam lakol v'yomru. That people will not find out. Yomru lo kiyem Avraham et kavod aviv. Sheinichu zaken v'halachlo. They should not think that Abraham was not sensitive to the obligation that a son has to honor his father. And instead, people will say that he left his father in Haran, alive and well, and then went on his way to Canaan. L'fikach, Kira'o ha-katuv meit. Therefore, Rashi says, the pasuk calls him a dead person. Right? Remember the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Vayu me terach, blah blah blah, vayamot terach becharad, vayamot beterach becharad." Doesn't mean that he actually died, according to Rashi, but it means he was in that category. The category of dead people. How do you get into the category of dead people, Rashi says, Harishaim av b'chayehem kuyim meitem, that the wicked alive are called dead. Ratzadikim af b'mitatan kruyim chayim. So what Rashi does in order to salvage this pasuk is say that that these last words vayamal terach becharan don't mean that he died. It means he was declared a dead person in Haran. I mean, he was still walking around, he was still drinking coffee, he was still doing whatever he did, but he was declared by history a dead person because he was a Rasha. And the implication is that if a person has a father who's a Rasha, you're not obliged to honor him in the way that you are obliged to honor your father generally. That's what the pasuk tells us. But as far as we're concerned, I mean, that's interesting, I think. But what the pasuk is really telling us is that Avraham Avinu realized, as the Maharal teaches at great length, everything in the Maharal is at great length, but this is also at great length. The Maharal teaches that someplace along the line, Avram Avinu had to separate himself from his biological father and start an actual a new line. He was new, Avram Avinu. When did that happen? That happened here by Yamot Terach Becharan. That's where it started. That because he was a wicked person, he was considered to be dead. If he was dead, he had no reason to honor him. Avram didn't have to honor him. Then to honor him, it was as though he didn't have a father. He was immaculately conceived at this time. I mean, after, I mean, we're not that advanced in immaculate conceptions, but it was clear to the Maharal, at least, in his explanation of these psukim, that Avram Avinu had to divest himself of his relationship to his father. Because if he couldn't do that, he could not create a new nation. Something that never existed in the world before would always be tainted. It would also be tainted by those genes, the genes from Terach. In fact, there is another tradition in Chazal that Terach actually did tshuva before he died. That he somehow wanted to redeem himself. He realized that he was the father of a great person. But that's not here in this Rashi. There is one more point that Rashi makes, which I think is very interesting, so I'm going to mention it. You see the last Rashi? Becharan. You see the last Rashi? Becharan? In this group of Rashis? Hanun hafucha. Hanun hafucha. The nun is backwards. How do you write a backwards nun? The way you write a nun is like it's a long leg, and at the top it faces forward, faces the next word. Okay, so it's like that. That's a nun. Nun hafucha means instead of the top part, the hat, facing forward, it faces backward. The only trouble is that if you look in your Chumash, in a Chumash, or if you look at the Sefer Torah, any Sefer Torah in the world, this just doesn't happen to be true. The Nun is regular. The Nun is regular, and this has been commented upon extensively. But there is no reason to think that in the Chumash that Rashi used in Shul on Shabbos, well, this Nun Hafucha existed. No reason to think that. And so, what does Rashi say? Hanun Hafucha lomar lecha, not to teach you, Ad Avram hayacharon af shel makom ba'olam. You see that word Charan? That's the name, Charan. But the letters Chet Resh Nun are the same letters in the word Charon, anger. Anger. So it says, why is the Nun Hafucha? To tell us that God's anger was until the Avram Avinu. And from Avram Avinu on, the world was dealt with by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different way, which came out finally after the Chet HaEgel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to to Bnei Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanu. It was invented then. Nobody knew until that moment that God was Rachum V'Chanu, because everybody thought that God was Din, justice, right? You did what you did, and you took, you got whatever you deserved as a result of what you did. But Rachum V'Chanu was invented. So here Rashi says another thing that happened when Avram Avinu was created, so to speak, when he became, there was suddenly a reason for God to treat the world differently. And that's what Rashi says, Lo Malecha, to teach us, Ad Avraham Ayacharon Af Shel Makom Ba'olam, until Avram Avinu, God treated the world so in a manner that produced anger. God was angry at the world. But Avram Avinu redeemed the world. If it could be one Avram Avinu, so there could be more Avram Avinus, or there could be people like Avram Avinu. That's what it says. That's the end of the parasha of Noah. I would just say one thing. Interestingly, this statement that Rashi quotes is in Chazal. So the fact that the Nun is not backwards, it doesn't bother Rashi at all, because the idea of it is still correct. If Chazal said, until then, God was angry, and then God was not angry, so that's something that it doesn't really matter that they hung it on the Nun Hafucha, the backwards Nun. It doesn't really matter to Rashi, because Rashi says that Chazal, they knew something about the Chumash that we are learning, right? That was Rashi's position. The beginning of the parasha of Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha me'atzecho me'molatzecho me'beit avicha la'aretz asher ha'eka. El la'aretz asher ha'eka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell him where he's going to go. El ha'aretz asher ha'eka. So this is the new relationship. The new relationship? That you turn, according to Abraham, what happened here was that an everyday action, even an action that had already been begun by Terach and Avram, right? It was, they were going to Canaan. Why were they going to Canaan? Not because it was Eretz Yisrael. They're going to Canaan because they wanted to make money, they wanted to do well, they wanted to be in a better place, they wanted to do all of that. It was purely mundane. The mundane act was turned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Avraham Avinu into a mitzvah. That's the chiddush. That itself is the great new idea that Avraham Avinu brought into the world. And even though Chazal say, and the Rambam quotes it at great length, that Avraham Avinu was a theologian, a philosopher, he was able to understand things that he knew about causality, and there had to be a first cause, and God had to create the world. He knew all of that he figured it out. He figured it all out, and then he tried to pass it on to others. But when the Torah has to explain to us in some ultimate way what was the innovation that Avram Avinu did, which so much caught the attention of heaven, it has to be this. Vayom Hashem el Avram lech lecha el ha'aretz asher ereka, and they went to Eretz Canaan, where he was going in any event. So the mitzvah turned the mundane into something remarkable. Something remarkable. And that's a way of looking at the mitzvot, like a Samson Raphael Hirsch way of looking at the mitzvah. You can eat, but you have to think about eating. Right? You can live, but you have to think about living. Like everything as the system of mitzvot developed, they basically approach mitzvot, that is, the mitzvot approach everyday life. And they say, you have to think about it. You can't just do it. And that's what Avraham Avinu was doing. He was thinking about what he was doing in any event, directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the first thing. That's the first thing that we know. The second, the second pasuk is or I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. Kol mishpichot ha'adama. So here Rashi. All right. See the Rashi. I see it. I just want to skip. Pasuk Dalit. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. Avraham went as Hashem told him. What does that mean? He didn't go to a place that he wasn't going to in any event. He was going to the same place, but he was now going directed by God. That's like a difference. There's a difference if you go to Eretz Yisrael because, you know, it's a great place to live, or you go to Eretz Yisrael because it's a mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael. That changes your view of yourself and what you are doing. Avraham ben chameshanim v'shivim shana v'seitom micharan. Pasuk hey. Vayikach Avraham et Sarai ishto v'et Lot ben achi v'et kol rechusham asher rachashu v'et hanefesh asher asu b'charan v'yetzu l'lechad ha'aretz ha'Kena'an v'yavo ha'aretz ha'Kena'an. So even though God did not specifically tell them to go to Eretz Kena'an, they continued on their way. Right? In other words, when God said to Avraham, you go, I'll show you where you should go. So they started going. Where were they going to go? They went to the same direction that they were going to before. And that direction was to Eretz Kena'an. Right? Vayavor Avraham ba'aretz ad mekom Shechem ad Elon Moreh. Vaknani az ba'aretz. Here, Pasuk Vav. It's here someplace. What?
In the middle, towards the left.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, you got it? Here it is. It's at 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the bottom in the Rashi. Vayavor Avraham ba'aretz nichnas l'tocha ad mekom Shechem. So Rashi says, Litpalel al b'nei Yaakov k'sheyavo lilachem b'Shechem. Right, you remember? Rashi says, how come he went to Shechem? What's in Shechem? Only bad things happened to the Jews in Shechem. Till this very day, actually. Bad things happened to the Jews. Why did Avraham go to Shechem? So Rashi says, Litpalel al b'nei Yaakov k'sheyavo lilachem b'Shechem. Remember, Shimon and Levi went to fight with Shechem ben Hamor. And because they raped their sister Dina and wanted to marry her. And so Avraham Avinu now goes to Shechem in order to daven for Shimon and Levi, who are going to come to have this battle, right? So in other words, I mean, it's true that it's hard for us to fathom, but what it means, I think, is that Avraham Avinu recognized his responsibility for the generations. His responsibility for the generations. Don't we say, we'll see in a second, we say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, that it's good for me. It's good for me to remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That there is this idea that memory is able to make things come together, that I could forget who I am a little bit, where I come from, because where I come from is about the obligations that I have or that I should have, and I could forget all of that. But when I say look Abraham, look Yitzhak, look Yaakov, I don't forget it. I don't forget it. That's why I have to start off every time I daven. I have to say who I am. It's like you're knocking at the door of heaven when you daven. So in heaven they say, "Who is that? Who is it? Who's knocking at the door?" So what we say, is that we remember who we are. A long time has passed, that things have happened, that everything has changed, and it's not exactly the way it might be. But we remember. We remember where we come from. And by remembering where we come from, we connect ourselves. We connect ourselves to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. Okay. So Avram Avinu did two things. He went as God directed him to go. And furthermore, he was able to daven for the generations to be part of the process, right? The generations would coalesce around Avram Avinu, and so his davening in Shechem would make sense. Now if you turn the page, there's a story that takes place in the parasha of Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Dalet, and that's the story of the battle of the four kings against the five kings, and Lot was taken away, was caught and taken, and so Avram Avinu felt compelled to fight to free his nephew Lot, which is what he did. And after he fought, and after he won, and after he freed Lot, there's a little story, a vignette almost, about Malki Tzedek. You see the pasuk at the top? Bereshit Perek Yudale Pasuk Yudchet is about Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek is a name, I guess. Malki Tzedek. Melech Shalem. Melech Shalem. Shalem is Yerushalayim. Is Yerushalayim. It's a curiosity. It's a curiosity. But in Babylonian, which I once knew more about than I know today, but this I still remember, the city Shalem is written in Babylonian Shalem, and then next to it there's a diacritical mark. You know what the diacritical mark is? It doesn't mean anything. I mean, it means something, but you don't read it. It's just there. Like the difference of shid and sin in Hebrew. Could have a diacritical mark or not. Forget that. The city's name is Shalem. In Babylonian, the word that means city is Uru. So you get it? So in Babylonian, when they wrote the city in Babylonian, they wrote the name Shalom, Shin, Lamed, Mem, Shalom. But next to it, they made a sign. And that sign was an Uru sign, which meant that the word Shalom is not a prop, it's not a noun, but is a place name. It's a city name. Somehow that evolved into Israel, into Hebrew, as Yerushalayim. And as the Babylonians would just say Shalem, but we say Yerushalayim. But it's the same. But they're both the same. I'm glad you are very happy I did that. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. So there's this guy Malki Tzedek. He has nothing to do with the story up to now. It has nothing to do with the battles of the four kings and the five kings and Lot. But he was someplace in a city on a hill. And he heard about it, maybe. After all, the battles were taking place more around the Yericho area. And here's Malki Tzedek. He's in Shalem, which is a city on a mountain, as you may have noticed or not if you ride a bicycle. So Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem Motzi Lechem V'Yayin. He took out bread and wine. In other words, the way you welcome somebody, and certainly welcome somebody of great importance like Avraham Avinu turned out to be, is you bring out wine and lechem, bread and wine. V'hu kohen le'el elyon. And he, who's the antecedent here of he, is a kohen? Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek is a kohen le'el elyon. So that means that the Torah is a witness to the fact that Malki Tzedek is from in the traditional Jewish Avram Avinu way. He recognized El Elyon, that there was one supreme God, El God Elyon, above all other gods. Right, that was Melchizedek. Vayevarcheihu vayomar, and he blessed him, and he said, "He Melchizedek blessed Avraham, and he said to him, Baruch Avraham." Le'el Elyon Koneh Shemayim Va'aretz. Baruch Avraham Le'el Elyon, to the high God, to this unique special God in heaven, Koneh Shemayim Va'aretz. Koneh Shemayim Va'aretz means the one who made, who created, who established heavens and earth. So here is, not only is Melchizedek a good guy, but he also knows about Breshit. He knows how the world came into being. Ubaruch El Elyon. Ubaruch El Elyon. Blessed is God. El Elyon, again the same idea. Asher migein sarecha biyadecha, who protected you from the enemies, protected you, Avraham, from the enemies. And then the last clause, Vayitein lo maaser mikol, and he gave him a tenth of all the stuff that he had. Who gave to whom?
Abraham
gave to. So we see. You see, even without going into the parashanut, even without looking at that, Abraham recognized the religious personality. And he supported it. He supported the religious personality. It doesn't say that Melchizedek became a convert, that he accepted Avram Avinu's ideas, but that he on his own. So this is something else that's said about Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu said, look, I'm special. But that doesn't mean that I can exclude everybody else who has the correct ideas about things. So you have this little story which doesn't seem to mean anything about the future of Am Yisrael and Avram Avinu and what's going to happen, but which tells us, I think, something interesting about how people look upon each other. How you can find room within your system, within your philosophical system, for people who have basically a similar approach, but not quite identical to you. So you look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Melchizedek, Midrash Agadah Hu Shem Ben Noach. That Melchizedek, the Midrash Agadah that said that Melchizedek was Shem, because Shem was given this land by Noach, so eventually we're going to get it back. Rashi says that. Okay, I wanted to look at the Ramban. You see the Ramban, Hizkir v'hu kohen le'elyon. The first wide line in the Ramban, halfway in, the first word is Hizkir. The pasuk says, Vehu kohen le'el elyon, lo'odia ki Avraham lo haya noten ma'aser le'kohen le'elohim achirim. To teach us that Avraham would never give a tithe ma'aser to a person who was a priest for Elohim achirim, idolatry, an idolatrous priest. The Ramban says it must be that Avram knew Shehu Kohen El Elyon, even though the pasuk says that. But how did Avram know that? So the Ramban says obviously he must have known that. He must have known that he was a Kohen El Elyon. Natan lo hamaser lichvod Hashem. He gave him this tithe to honor God. Baremez l'Avraham mizeh, ki sham yiyeh beit Elokim, Visham Yotzi Zaro Hamaaser Vatruma. And so the Ramban goes on and says remez. Right? You know what the remez is? The meaning behind the meaning. The word remez means a hint. But it means really that there's a necessary interpretation. In other words, if you say to yourself, and why does the Torah tell me the story? And why do I have to know about Malki Tzedek Bel Shalem? And why do I have to know that he gave him Maaser Mikol? I don't have to know all of that. There are probably a lot of things that happened in the course of the war that Avram Avinu waged against the kings. And the Torah doesn't tell us all of those stories. So what is it? What's the remez? Kisham Yeyeh Beit Elohim. He told Avram Avinu that even though you went to Shechem, you had a good reason for going to Shechem, but the Beit Elohim is going to be built in Yerushalayim. Will be built in Yerushalayim. That's what Avram Avinu had to know, because Avram Avinu might have made the same mistake that the Samaritans made. In Bayit Sheni, right, the Samaritans said, they had their own difficulties, their own problems, but at the end they said, we want to build the Beit HaMikdash in Shechem. We, the Samaritans, want to build the Beit HaMikdash in Shechem. And they brought forth the argument that the name Yerushalayim does not appear in the Chumash, which happens to be true. You know, they could read from one end to the other. The name Yerushalayim does not appear in the Chumash, but the Chumash says again and again, El HaMakom, to the place which I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will show you. It'll be revealed to you. But still this doubt. Moshe Rabbeinu Avraham Avinu went to Shechem, right? He had a reason for going to Shechem. But if you read the parasha, it turns out that you come to Eretz Yisrael, you go to Shechem. I mean, today, you know, people generally come to Eretz Yisrael, they go to Yerushalayim. But you might have thought about it a different way, that Avraham Avinu went to Shechem, so we should all go to Shechem. So that's what he said, the big Beit Elohim, Visham, there in Yerushalayim, Yotzi Zaro HaMaaser HaTruma, the descendants of Avraham Avinu will get the tithes, the Maaser and the Truma, Visham Yevarchu Et Hashem, and there they will bless HaKadosh Baruch. So you see that even though, it's interesting to note that even though Avraham Avinu was unique in his devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he accepted the fact that every human action can be done in the manner of a mitzvah or stam, with no regard to what it is that's going on. In spite of that, Avraham Avinu knew that there were other people in the world who were on the way. And when Chazal say that Avraham Avinu created a lot of converts, Derchush Hashem, Asu B'charan, right, that's what the Pasuk says, that Avraham Avinu and Sarah, they both made a lot of converts. These converts were probably the followers of Malki Tzedek, or similar people to Malki Tzedek, people who understood things, perhaps not perfectly, not as Avraham Avinu understood them, but he was in a world, he became the one who created hope in the world. And that's why Rashi says that Charon Af, the anger that HaKadosh Baruch had towards the world, which we see in the Mabul, in the flood, that anger abated. It was no longer the dominant feature describing the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world that was created. But the relationship was an optimistic one. It could happen, because there was Avraham Avinu. But besides Avraham Avinu, there was also Malki Tzedek. Right? Malki Tzedek is, I think, an important factor right? He was not Avram Avinu, but he was more than an idolater. He was not just a person who could not understand what was actually happening. So this is the beginning. Some of the things we were able to speak about, some of them you know about without speaking about them, like the fact that there had to be a mother. Yitzchak had to have a mother. And that mother had to be, even if it took a very serious miracle to create her. Also, one of the ways in which Avraham Avinu was dislodged from his relationship to his father was by changing his name. I mean, when you change somebody's name, he's a new person. He's different. So Avraham Avinu name changed, right? Whatever the reason for the name change, created stated in the Pasuk. Nevertheless, he's not the child of his father who gave him the name Avram. Right? He gave him the name Avram, and the same thing is true about Sarai, who becomes Sarah. They are the new beginning. They're the new start for the community that will become Am Yisrael, which, at least in the way we look at it, somehow keeps the world going. We keep the world going not because we're all as good as we should be, but because as a collective we have certain merit. Right? As a collective, we're better than we are as individuals. Right? So just like sometimes a collective is punished for the sins of some individuals, so too a collective is supported because there are righteous people somehow in this collective. Okay. Have a good Shabbos. Yeah.